Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the Spirit. Scripture is full of the blessings of the Holy Spirit in connection with water, especially. Old Testament, it says that I will pour out my water, says in Isaiah 44:3. I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. I invite you to follow along with me as we have our outline looking at life through the living waters. And the gospel reading is set in a very special time. It's good to get a little bit of background on that. What they would do is they would have this feast that involved water. They had a ritual and a service that they did with all the pomp and circumstance you can possibly imagine, with the high priests and choir singing. They had a special place where they would go and they would take water out of a spring, and it was called the Spring of Gihon, and they would take the water out of the spring. And then as a procession, they would take this water. They would do this every day for 7 days. This is the last day of the feast. They would take this down to a place called the Water Gate, and they would pour the water out. And the choirs would be singing. They would say, with joy, from Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will draw out water from the wells of salvation. This was symbolic that one day, through Judaism, there would be this outflowing of water of God that would go out from the temple in Jerusalem, and it would water the whole earth. And indeed, on various levels, they understood this water. They had been in the wilderness, and they knew that God had sustained them in the wilderness. He provided water coming out of a rock, which is a pretty amazing miracle. And when we and they themselves look back in the past, we can see so many times when God would deliver us, when He would help us. The idea is that God is faithful, and God is concerned about people. He really is concerned about people. He sends us rain for the farmers. We need the rain. They celebrated this in this feast, that the autumn rains would come for them. They needed that for their growing. And they looked for God's blessing in the future. They wanted God's impact, God's leading, and God's guidance. And Jesus stands up on the last day of this feast, and He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. And I will give living water, Jesus said. Now in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Zechariah, they had visions of this water flowing from the temple, literally, but Jesus is saying it in a different way. Water is an analogy of God's Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, it was given in measure. Our Old Testament reading, Moses was actually prophesying in that reading. He was prophesying of a time when it would not be given in measure. In the Old Testament, it was given to 70 individuals, not given to the whole community. Different setup, different reality. It was given to these leaders, these 70 leaders. They were anointed by the Spirit of God. It came through Moses, came through a mediator, and went out to them. These leaders, these anointed leaders by the Spirit of God, were leading God's people through the wilderness. They had all of their rites and all of their rituals. It was clear. You come to the temple, you offer sacrifices, you do this, you do that. You do it through these leaders. This is the anointing of God, this is the leading of God, and He poured this out upon the people, making it very clear. But at the same time as Moses prophesied in our Old Testament text, a time will come when He is going to pour it out on everybody. Why did He wait? Why the difference? You see, Jesus stood up at the feast, and He says, God is going to let rivers of living water flow. They did not flow because Christ was not yet glorified. Now, His sacrifice was so complete, so so perfect, so anointed, so glorious in paying for our sins that it is absolutely cleaned and made whole and holy and perfect everyone who believes. Jesus Christ is at the center of the giving of the Holy Spirit. His work is. And that work was so awesome and so powerful and so wonderful that it brought life to us and rivers of living water. That's why if you believe and I believe, that Holy Spirit is living in us. It has come to dwell in us. You see, Christ alone is the source of this life. And in Him there was a fullness that was poured out in Pentecost. Christ promised the living water and that it would flow out of the hearts of believers. You are a temple of God's Spirit. There's no more sanctuary. There's no more sacrifices. There's no more of that ritual. You are a work of God and God is working in you through the glory of Jesus Christ. We have that leading. We have that anointing. That's what the amazing thing that's happening in Pentecost. Christ is saying, "Are you thirsty?" Christ is asking, "Are you thirsty?" You see, it's the Holy Spirit that causes that thirst, that causes us to want God's leading and want God's guiding. The reality is this. I'll put it in, let's look at it from a very practical point of view. All of us have needs. And all of us have a huge amount of unmet needs. You have relational needs. You have financial needs. You have health needs. We live in a world. This world is broken and it is parched. This world is broken. It is unrepairable. It is not able to heal itself, to water itself, to find the satisfaction that it really needs. And we all have these needs, unmet needs. That's a reality of this life. You need to be loved. You need to not be lonely. If we were to list them out, and if we were just to sit down with a friend or between us and God in your quiet time, you would realize there are so many things that are needs in your life. And those needs are unmet. Now what the temptation is to meet your needs in your own way. God has a way. God has a direction. God has a way that He wants you to trust, to hope, to walk, and to do. And He wants you to cry out to Him for that leading and guidance. It's important for us to see that there is nothing between you and God that would keep us from receiving everything that He has for us. You do not have to work to earn it. You do not have to go to church to earn it. You do not have to do anything to earn it. God has given it to you because you believe. And we fellowship together in a group like this to celebrate what God is doing within us through the power of His Holy Spirit. It is a wonderful blessing. Jesus is saying, "I am the springs of living water." He's standing up at this feast. He's saying, I'm it. He says, from yourself, from your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. The living waters are meant to satisfy me. To satisfy you. To quench your thirst. To bring a level of satisfaction in your life that would not be there otherwise. Many years ago, when Jill and I were doing our missionary thing, we were traveling around. We would come in churches similar to this. We would have a display board that we had out. And on our display board, at this time, we had pictures from the country of Namibia. And on that, there was a picture, on that bulletin board, there was a picture of an acacia tree. And these are large, huge, huge trees. Well, there was a botanist in that congregation, and he came up, not knowing really anything about the country, saw the acacia tree, and he said, "It must be desert, dry, horrible soil there, really hard to grow anything." Kind of looked at him and said, "Wow, how'd you know that?" He said, "Well, because the acacia tree grows there." And he says, where any place that thing grows, he says, it's not a place where you're going to get a good harvest of anything. And these things are not the best trees in the world. They have thorns. I'm not kidding you. They're dirty. They're a very dangerous tree, actually. Drop it on the ground. You get them in your hands, get them in your feet. So this is what grows. And to try to get something to grow, actually, is not like here, where it's amazing. You see the corn coming up now and the beans coming up. Isn't it fascinating? It's beautiful. It's just things grow. I hope you got stuff in your garden that's growing. It's an awesome thing to see that. It's not like that everywhere. It is not like that in our lives. Oftentimes in our lives, what grows? Worries, fears, stress, lack of joy. Do you find that you're sad? Do you find that it's hard to look at the situation that you're in and find joy in it? Do you feel guilt? Do you feel stress? See, these are things that grow up. They're thorns. They're things that grow up, and they grow up naturally in us. Have you ever noticed in your life how easy, and actually in the world when you plant in a garden, how well the weeds grow? Isn't it unfair? I mean, the stuff you plant, it needs all the care in the world, but the weeds really don't have any problem at all. They just grow up. What's growing? The living water comes into your life to make God's goodness grow. The living water comes into your life. Why? So that the character of Jesus Christ can grow strong in your life. That's the purpose. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. You say, well, that can't happen in my life. Yeah, it can happen in your life, but what through the power of the Holy Spirit? Whose power is it? Is it your own power? Of course that can't happen under your own power. Can it happen under God's power? Certainly it can through the Word of God. Can He bring life out of nothing? Can He bring life to a parched desert land? Absolutely. Isaiah is full of those promises. This is what God is talking about. This is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not on 70, it's on everybody who believes in Jesus Christ. It's upon you and me. There's times and there's seasons for everything, but in all those times and all those seasons, we have a hope and an anchor that is living, that is fueled in fellowship, that is fueled in God's Word, that is fueled in God's sacraments. It is fueled in what God has given us so that we would have the grace of God and the sustaining power of His Spirit. And lastly, God wants this living water to flow through me. He does. He wants you to be a tributary. You will get so much joy in sharing what God has placed in you. Guarantee you. That's just the way it works. He wants to flow through you. He wants to have an opportunity that would flow. In the reading, Jesus said, it's rivers of living water. Rivers do not pool up. There is one place, actually in Palestine, where they pool up. It's called the Dead Sea. And it's the Dead Sea because it doesn't have an outlet. And the water just pools up and pools up and pools up and becomes so salty it's not good for anything. God wants you to be a tributary into someone's life. God wants you to flow out. You say, well, what can I do? There's a word you can share. There's a smile that you can bring. There's an opportunity to turn the other cheek. This is the life that He has called us to. A thought. Have you ever thought about the fact, most all of the New Testament, in fact, well over 60% of the New Testament, does not have to do with heaven, but it has to do with here. It has to do with our life here because our life here is hard. And even the book of Revelation, a book about heaven. Most of the book of Revelation, the book about heaven and the end to end, is about living in the here and now. And how God is able to get you through no matter what happens. God is faithful, He's able, and He will get you through. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the focus of Jesus' ministry in His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. He told them, He said, wait in Jerusalem, folks, until the power from on high comes to you, which we saw in our reading. That will empower you within. It will empower a flow out. And that will touch you and the world through the power of Jesus Christ, our living Lord.